You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
We're doing this thing then, right? We're talking about this?
Yeah, let's do a 90s version of mixtape.
Oh, we don't even have a bumper for that. What the hell? We'll just throw the 90s bumper out there.
We'll throw the 90s bumper out there, but we'll claim it like in the beginning here. We'll talk about it. It's a song, and we're going to dig deep into this one specific song. And I don't know how many people are going to know it, but it's really kind of a unique spoken word song that has got a lot of really, really good points and advice and interesting comments.
All right. Okay. Well, are you doing this thing or am I?
Do you want me to?
I'm fine. You go ahead.
Go for it. All right. All right. Welcome. Oh my God.
You okay?
Wow. Yeah, we might have to edit that part out. Hold on. Let me take a sip of my whiskey.
Oh, yeah, that'll help.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Banzai Retro Club. We're going to do another mixtape episode. However, it's a little bit different. We usually do an 80s mixtape. I mean, we usually do like music related to the 80s. Tonight, we're doing one related to the 90s, and it's Dave and myself. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Well, actually, tonight I want to be Al Schwede, and we can talk about my balls.
No.
No? We're not doing that? No. Okay. All right.
No, however, that was in the 90s, and that would be a funny topic.
Was that the 90s? I was hoping.
I do believe it was the 90s when Alec Baldwin was on the radio show with Anna Gasteyer and...
Yeah, the...
What was the other actress's name?
Oh, I don't remember. But...
I don't know, but that was
a Delicious great, Dish.
I love that cast. Yes, Delicious Dish.
Yeah.
I love that cast of Saturday Night Live. But that's not what we're talking about tonight, Dave.
You don't want to talk about how my balls glisten? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you ever see the follow up with Shreddy Wieners?
Yes, I did.
No, that's great stuff too.
So look at me, I'm Tajadine. Yay.
Dave's like taking over my role right now.
Yeah, I know. You went overlord on me and I went Tangent King.
All right, should I rein you back in?
I don't know. Is that what the Overlord does?
Sometimes.
All right. Well, then let me tell you about a story about Saturday Night Live. Just give me a minute. I got nothing. I was started there. I was expecting you to pull me back and you didn't. So I don't know what to do.
I'm looking for my cricket sound effect right now.
Okay.
Hold on. Oh, I don't have it. I can't find it. I used to have it on my phone.
Hey, Google.
Phone.
Play crickets.
Okay, here's a Spotify playlist called Crickets.
Oh, that's not right. No, that's not going to work. Hold on. Oh, yeah, it does.
There you go.
Nice. I didn't know it'd be a okay. Spotify playlist. Shh. Hey, Google, shut up. I'm usually mean to it, and, like, Abby tells me not to tell it shut up.
You shouldn't say shut up. It's not polite.
Yeah, okay. I'm so sorry that our listeners hear that I'm mean to my Google Mini device.
It is listening.
I'm an angry drunk. Anyway. angry drunk.
Angry. All right. So what are we going to talk about tonight, Dave?
You know,
now that we're on a 90s version of 80s, 90s mixtape.
So you want to talk about this song, and I'm air quoting song here. It's a spoken word thing.
It's spoken word, yes.
Spoken word. So Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen by Baz Luhrmann.
Baz
Luhrmann. So you approached me and you were like, you know, I want to do this, you know, this podcast about this particular song. And I was like, okay. And it's significant. Don't get me wrong. I think it's significant for the late 90s. But I'd like to hear what's your logic? Why are we dedicating an episode to this song?
You know, I just think it's got a lot of interesting points in it.
Okay.
It really, I wish I'd paid attention to it. Well, it didn't come out until the late 90s.
Right.
But if I'd heard this in the 80s, I wish I'd paid attention to it because it's got a lot of really good stuff in it.
A lot of great messages.
I don't know why it grabbed my attention.
Is there any kind of like backstory as to why, you know, why is this like ringing so true with you now?
I just think what it talks about, okay. The things that it talks about.
That's coming from our older person perspective. I'm not gonna say old guy, but the older right. person perspective. So looking back, we can see where this advice that is trying to dispense.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does.
All right.
Looking back, of course, and, you know, if I had heard it back in the day, I probably would have been like, whatever.
Yeah, you know, because I would have been, 28, probably the first time I heard this. And I probably would have like, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in there. And that's about all the, like, mental bandwidth I would have given it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not sure where it like resurfaced in my life.
Okay.
It had to be in the last 7 to 10 years, I'd say. Somehow it came up on a playlist or something or excuse me.
Okay.
That was one of my speakers.
Okay.
I think it might have come up on like satellite radio or something. And it just caught my attention. I'm like, wow, that's really – it's got a lot of really interesting points to it. And so I think what we should do is like start the show by dropping it in.
Okay. So the whole song.
Yeah. It's not a short song. But
no, it's not.
I don't know. Or do you want to drop it in at the end? What do you think?
We'll put it here.
Ladies and gentlemen – of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, Tony with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. You never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
So now everybody's heard it.
Okay, now, you've listened to the song. It's got a lot of interesting points. I have the lyrics right here in front of me.
Okay.
And so I'm going to run back down them. I'm going to do the basically my version of spoken word. It says, ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99. Now, I think this could cover a lot more years than just the class of 99, because there's so much depth to a lot of what he says in this. He says, wear sunscreen. Now, this is just kind of a joke at first, right? You know, he's kind of being silly with just wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. But he goes on to say that, you know, with his this person's experience, he's going to say a bunch of other things that are that have a lot of potency to them.
Right.
Like he goes on and he says, I will dispense this advice now. First line is enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Okay. But then he says, oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they have faded. Like, dang. Like, that's true. Like, I really have not appreciated what I had because it's been so long ago. But now I appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, I completely relate to that where – there's probably like one time, like way back when I first graduated boot camp and I was in the best shape that I've ever been, but never once did I look myself in the mirror and go, God damn, I'm awesome. So, I mean, that just didn't happen. But looking back on pictures of how I came out of boot camp, I was like, that's it. That was the best me there was.
And hey, everybody, come see how good I look.
But I didn't appreciate it back then, so I completely get this. I just want to backtrack for 1 second in the fact that recently my daughter graduated high school, and the principal was also giving the commencement speech. Mm-hmm. And you know, his message, his underlying message was put your device down and enjoy the moment. And I thought, my God, that is so powerful. And I'm like, these kids won't get it. They just won't get that message. And I'm like, if only we could have that and play it back 20, 30 years from now, then they would be ready to get that message.
Right.
So yeah, I totally relate in now an older guy's perspective of, you know, what's involved in a really good commencement speech, which this is.
This is basically a commencement speech, right? Really. That's what it should be, and that's the way they present it,
right?
To the class of 99,
right?
But I really think it covers a larger gamut than that class. I think it could cover 30 or 40 years of classes,
right?
So anyway, first line right out of the gates, boom, nails you. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh wait. You won't get that until later on in life.
Right. Till they faded.
It grabs you right away. And then it says, like you said, pictures of yourself, right? When you were in the best shape. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked.
Right. Completely relate.
Oh, yeah. Totally. So I, you know, every once in a while I'll see pictures that I might have posted on Facebook that are like memories, but even though they're memories from way back when, I would post them as like throwback Thursdays or something. And I would see myself and some friends of mine. I'm like, wow, we were really rocking the mullets. And we all look good with the mullets.
Look good with the mullets. Yeah.
So, you know, it's
those are brave words, my friend. I want to tell you, there's not a lot of not a lot of people would say, hey, I look back at myself with the mullet and go, yeah, I was rocking it. I that's bold of you. And I'm up there. You go right there. Okay.
Well, I've been trying to get like, you know, I have a few friends that are like musicians,
right,
that have written songs, and I wanted one of them, I've approached a couple of them and say I want to write a song, but I can't write songs. I want you to write a song for me called I Want My Mullet Back.
That would be great.
It would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. It'd be a funny kind of a parody thing, you know. Sure. You could throw back to the I should approach Stan Bush.
Yeah, we know a guy now, right?
Yes, we do. He might go for that just for fun. I mean, he is a friend of Al, you know, Weird Al.
Yeah, yeah, so. We covered that. So, yeah, maybe that could be his segue into, you know, hey, I've got an idea for you, Al. Let's do something together. That would be a perfect collaboration.
Credit Banzai Retro Club. Maybe we'll get a mention in the liner notes.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, it goes on to say how fabulous you really looked, you know, in your pictures. And then it says you are not as fat as you imagine. And that rings true for so many people, I think, just in not in even our age group, but just across the board.
Yeah.
Everybody is still so, you know, so much larger than they really are because of what the media does to us, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So,
and then it goes on to say, don't worry about the future or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. Yeah, I come from a long line of worriers. Not warriors.
Yeah.
I've lived up to that standard of thinking. I think it was passed on from my grandmother to my mom, and you know, we just have that worried state of mind. It's frustrating sometimes, and I wish I could get rid of it altogether, but you know.
Yeah, I try to present let's not, you know, think about that until it actually happens. Or my catchphrase that I say is, you know, let's jump off that bridge when we get to it. And I've used that on more than one occasion. But internally, yeah, I'm probably horrible because I do overthink things way too much.
So the next line is one that really, really impacts me and Chrissy. Okay. It says, the real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind. The kind of that blindside you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. And I don't know if it was a Tuesday, but when Chrissy and I got the call that said, you know, Chrissy was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was just like we were blindsided on some random afternoon. We had no idea that this was coming at us.
Right.
Now it's been 13 years, and she's, you know, been free and clear for a long time, which is awesome. But it was one of those moments that every time I hear this song, I think back to that one moment when I happen to be home. And she got the call on some random afternoon saying, yeah, it's positive. So that statement right there is really, really potent for me in this song. So I don't know if you have a moment in your life that was like a blindside moment.
I'm trying to – I mean, I know that, you know – oh, yeah, actually, yeah, now that I've given it a moment of thought. Was when my mom had called me and told me that my sister had passed away unexpectedly. Mm. And it's like there was
how
like
how old was she?
36.
Wow.
So yeah, there was really, I mean, there was nothing. There was no warning whatsoever. She had just visited us in Illinois. She traveled back to Florida where she lived, and it was in, I think, she went to some seizure in the parking lot at Epcot where she was picking up her husband. Mm. And that was it. She was gone.
Wow.
Wow. And yeah, so that was just so like there's no way of even thinking or planning for that.
Yeah, blindsided.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the next line.
Okay.
I mean, as obviously, it was a potent moment for both of us.
Yep.
To have something hit us. And I think a lot of people in life just have this. You know, whether it's in their teens or 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you just never know. Sometimes there's going to be that moment of news that's going to shock you.
Yeah.
The next line is, do one thing every day that scares you. I have a problem with that one. Should probably try to do things more often that put me on the edge of my seat, that are exciting, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people kind of bypass that and get sucked into their, you know, daily routine.
Right.
Right. And you don't do the things that are abnormal and exciting and scary.
Well, so. I completely relate to that line about doing one thing every day. It scares you. Not that I do something every day. It scares me. But the recently I went to Cedar Point with my youngest daughter, and we spent all day, and we were able to ride 10 roller coasters throughout the day. And there were moments during that day where I actually questioned the safety harness. And I'm like, how secure is this really? Because I think my daughter's set. She's smaller than I am. And, you know, she's getting all the clicks in. You know, it's like tick, 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 all the way down. I'm a little bigger than her. So I'm getting maybe 2-3 clicks. And I'm like, is that good enough? I don't know. I'm about to be flung upside down in 300 different ways. And, yeah. This, I hope it's okay. And, you know, after that whole experience of that, you know, 10 roller coasters throughout the day, I wouldn't exchange that for anything. That was a wonderful day.
You know, from your post on Facebook, that looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was just a
great... It was just you and Abby?
Yeah, it was just me and Abby. We went, we stayed at a hotel overnight. We got up and got there shortly after the park opened. Mm-hmm. I even got in free with my, because I had a DD-214. They have military Mondays. So nice. You get in free. She got the military discount because she was with me. So it really cost almost nothing. There's almost hardly any lines, being a nice Monday, mm-hmm. overcast kind of day. Yeah. So we had... Except for like the really like the newest roller coaster had like the longest line, but after that, I mean, we were whipping through lines like nobody's business.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it was just the night before when we were in the hotel, I had actually looked up and found like somebody blogged the top 15 roller coasters or top 20 roller coasters, whatever it was at Cedar Point. And I'm like, okay, these 10, these are, you know, this is what we're going to try to accomplish. And when we get there, we go to the first one that's the newest, the biggest, the baddest one, and we hit that one first. And so we're in line for a good hour and a half. And we're like, okay, there's no way we're going to hit all 10. So maybe 5 is a good number to accomplish. And then all of a sudden... You know, we started getting short lines, and we started being able to just move on things. And then by the time, you know, like that whole 12-hour day was kind of going through, and Abby is usually one that kind of peters off after a couple hours, where she's mm-hmm. not actively ready to just continue going. She was on board. She was late, almost leading the way.
Wow.
So we had 10 that we wanted to hit, and by God, we hit 10.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great
day. That's a great place. Chrissy and I went there a few, like 10 years ago.
Right.
And we did a long weekend, and we went on a weekday, so we were able to go like on a Friday.
Right.
Versus a Saturday or Sunday, and it was pretty awesome. Millennium Force blew my mind. That was pretty intense.
Yeah, and that was like then, number yeah, 6 now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's
times have changed.
Yeah, that was 20. I mean, almost 20 years ago that right. Millennium Force came out. You know, Millennium being the year 2000 or whatever.
Right.
That is when it came out, and then the drag strip.
Oh, the
whatever it was.
Yeah, that drag experience.
I can't remember the name of it, but man, so you're waiting in line, and this roller coaster goes, and they it's a like a I don't know, magnetic catapult that just shoots you out at 120 miles an hour in like 3 seconds. It's insane. And then it goes straight up and then over like a loop.
Yeah.
Not a loop, over just a top. It looks like a giant, paperclip really. but sometimes now, I don't know if they did that for you, but occasionally it wouldn't go all the way over and it would come back down and they'd have to shoot you off again.
No, it went all, every time I was there, it was going all the way over.
No, there was, when we were waiting in line, I think we waited a good 2 hours in line that day for that ride. Drag Strip Racer something. God, what was it called?
Let's see.
Anyway.
Cedar Point.
So you'd shoot off and it would go and look like it was going to go over and it would just kind of stall out at the top and then it would come back down.
Top Thrill Dragster.
Yeah. I think they were doing that on purpose to mess with the people that were in line because you have to watch the ride when you're in line. Like the line is set up to watch, experience the ride as it's going by.
Right.
And I think they were messing with us. So anyway, awesome.
Yeah.
That you did that.
120 miles per hour.
Yeah, in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's super quick, but yeah, it's scary and wonderful all at the same time. And yes. So it encapsulates exactly what we're saying in this line. Do one thing that every day that scares you, because I wouldn't take that experience away. That was a blast.
You did like 10 things that one day.
Yeah.
That scares you.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I've always loved roller coasters. So the ones that were, you know, number 7, 8, 9, 10 on the list were kind of lame, you know, by roller coaster standards.
Yeah.
But like the first few, you know, the ones, the really big, bad ones, including the dragster one, scared the shit out of me. But it was, but I loved it. I enjoyed that experience. So, I get it.
Yeah,
and I'm not, and they've got those big drop rides where they take you like way up and then they drop you down, and I'm honestly not a huge fan of how that makes me feel, but afterwards it's so cool to have gone through that experience. So once again, it's the do that one thing every day that scares you, and yeah, I don't know why, but I'll continue to get on that ride.
Can't do those rides anymore. I get headaches like immediately.
Okay.
Really. I like, Christy and I used to be like roller coaster guy people, you know,
right.
Go and try to hit all the roller coasters. Like Raging Bull was our first ride every time we go to Great America.
Love that one.
Right. Yeah. It's a classic. And when we were up there, we drove past Great America and I saw that there's a couple new ones that we had not been on. We had been on, was it X Factor or something like that?
Yeah.
And Superman, yep. And stuff like that. But there's been a few new ones. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
We're hardly halfway through this song.
So the next line is Sing.
Next line is Sing.
And this is something you do every podcast.
I try to. I won't be able to sing on this episode because I really don't have anything that's jumping out at me to sing.
Okay.
And this is spoken word song, so.
Right.
Next line is, don't be reckless with other people's hearts.
Good
advice.
Don't
break hearts.
Yeah.
And don't put up with people who are reckless with yours.
Yeah.
Also good advice.
Yeah, definitely.
The next line is really good advice. Floss.
Something I get yelled about every time I go to the dentist.
Oh, yes. And you know what? Okay. She may not be happy about this, but Chrissy is a flosser. Like, she flosses every single day.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's always on me about it. Not like, you know, mean, but she's like, hey, don't forget to floss. Because she's had dental problems, and I have been lucky. I've been one of the lucky people that, you know, my teeth just happen to be good and strong and stuff, so my flossing habits don't deter me too much.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So, anyway. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. This is a really, really good one. The race is long and only with yourself. You know, being around a group of people, we're with this running group, and a lot of these people live by that. They don't compete with other people. They compete with their own running times, and that's what it seems to be all about for a lot of these guys that are, you know, some of them run marathons, some of them are ultra marathon runners, which we got a couple people in the group that run over 100 miles in some of their runs. Like, you are out of your ever loving mind. Like I can barely comprehend a 10K, which is only like 6 miles, okay? Where Chrissy's done a half a marathon, but she still says, well, marathon's just beyond what I want to do. Because so, she was at an event one time at a run, and she's like, I could never do a marathon. And her friend says, you know what, Chrissy? It's not that you can't do a marathon. You don't want to do a marathon. And Chrissy's like, you know what? You're damn right. I don't want to do a marathon. Because a half a marathon is plenty for me. So, yeah.
It's like, check mark, mission accomplished. I'm good.
Right. But for me, like, I'm not a runner at all. I don't like to run. The only reason I would be running is if something or somebody was chasing me, you know, with some kind of ill intent. So
yeah.
I've run from a few dogs before.
Okay.
In my previous job when I was with FedEx, I've had a couple of dogs chase me down out of the yard.
Choppers.
So yeah, choppers. Yeah. Sick balls. Exactly. I had one that actually had a muzzle on, and it was nipping. It was like hitting the back of my leg with its muzzle. Yeah. That was a good one.
Why would you run from a dog with a muzzle?
Why? Well,
what could he do to you?
First of all, I didn't know it had a muzzle until.
Okay. You just saw a dog of some kind.
So I went to deliver a package, and it was like this. It was like townhouses or condo kind of a situation.
Right.
Where we had a little front courtyard, and you kind of turned a corner. And it was like a 10 by 10 little courtyard in the front, right? So you'd turn a corner, and the front door was open, and this lady was like sitting out by her front door doing something on the floor. I can't remember what it was, but her dog just came jumping like from behind her and started chasing me. Now, your initial reaction is, if a dog is running at you, is run away. Right?
Yeah.
So I ran my ass off trying to get back to the truck, and it was right on my heels, and it was hitting the back of my calf with its muzzle.
Right.
So I had no idea it had a muzzle until it was right on top of me.
Sure.
So it never did do anything, you know, couldn't get through its muzzle.
Right.
So thankfully. She came out, she ran out, she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
And you're sitting there breathing heavy. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. So anyway, you want to go on to the next line?
So remember the compliments you receive. Forget the insults. Now, I totally relate to this because – and I told this story actually at work when I was starting at Sentient. So for those that don't know, I've had a track record of having to go through a few jobs lately. And Sentient was the spot that I was at. I can't believe I'm saying their name, but fuck it. It's not like anybody listens to this podcast anyway, right? Don't tell anybody. Okay. Keep that company name to yourself. But I worked for, the cable company. We'll put it that way. I worked for the cable company for a good 15 years, and somewhere at the beginning of that career, I had this manager who goes into the lower depths of what I would consider a good manager, and he had given me what I consider the worst review I've ever had. Worst review. Absolutely bad. And it was so bad that I typed up a page and a half rebuttal for this review. So now, after I had done that, I'd submitted this rebuttal, sent it to HR. I kept this evaluation and my rebuttal in a file in my desk drawer. Throughout the whole time that I was at that cable company, I probably had changed offices, I want to say, 4 times. So that means that throughout the course of all of those years, I had retained that piece of paper and I had actually moved it 4 times for me every time I went to go move it. And so I laid my hands on it, actually looked at the file, said, yeah, this is something I'm going to keep, and I kept it with me. The lesson here is that when I finally went to go leave that company after almost 15 years of service to that company, the only person that cared about that stupid evaluation was me. And I let it go. I finally let it go and said, I don't know why I'm carrying this crap around with me. Because it didn't apply to the employee or the manager that I became. It was not who I was, but I was carrying the damage of that a bad evaluation with me throughout all those years. So I dropped that baggage, and that's exactly what this line is telling us, is, you know, you've got to let that stuff go. Remember the good stuff. Remember the promotions. Remember the awards you get. But if you get the insults or you get like a bad evaluation, you've got to learn your lesson from it. Move on. Don't carry it with you.
Now, he goes on to say after that line, he says, remember the compliments you receive. Forget the insults.
Right.
If you succeed at doing this, tell me how.
Right.
And that's really a powerful moment too, like a powerful little statement, because, you know, there's moments in my life that I remember when, like you, there are certain times that always reverberate, and you just got to let it go.
Yeah.
Right? You just got to let it go. And it's not easy to do. I think it's human nature to try to hang on to that stuff, and I think that's why they say that line, you know, remember the compliments you receive, forget the insults. If you succeed doing this, tell me how.
Right, because this is a struggle for all of us.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this song or this spoken word poem or whatever you want to call it is so powerful. Like, there's so much good stuff in it that is just so relatable. Of course, the next line is just stretch.
No, actually, it says stretch. Keep your old love letters, throw away your old bank statements.
Oh, I missed that line. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's another good one, too. Yep. Get rid of your bank statements. You only need them for a few years.
Yeah. No reason to keep that.
Yeah. The love letters, I don't have any love letters.
You don't have any love letters of...
No, I don't think I have any... Well, I might have a couple that qualify as love letters. So when I moved from Chicago to California in the middle of fourth grade, my awesome, awesome teacher, one of my favorite teachers, and I still remember her name very well, Mrs. Berquist, had the class put this little book of letters together for me. Now, remember, this is fourth grade, so it's pretty, you know, simple stuff.
Right.
But there was a couple letters in there from a couple girls that I guess you would qualify as love letters, and it's really cute to look back at.
So you still have this?
I still have this.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I still have it. Nice.
And I've shown it. I still have a couple of friends in there that I never lost touch with. This one guy, Joe. I've been friends with him since kindergarten. We don't talk as much as we used to, but we can pick up a conversation today like it was yesterday, even though it's been 5 or 7 years.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that type of person.
That type of relationship. Yeah. Anyway, I guess that would be the only qualification of the love letters that I might have.
Okay.
Because there's a couple in there that are the girls that said, do you remember when I called you or when I said I was, you know, whatever, Mrs. Compton? I'm like, okay. All right. Cute. She had a crush on me. That's sweet.
Aw.
Yeah. And there's a few that I had crushes on, too, you know.
Okay.
I didn't get to write them love letters, though.
Oh.
And bank statements, though, I go through every once in a while, and, like, if it's over 5 or 6 years old, they're gone.
Yeah, I think we're so electronic now, we don't have any.
Yeah, you really don't need them.
Yeah. So the next thing is what? Stretch? I think stretch. This is very sage advice. There's too many times lately where I've been getting up and I'm kind of stiff. And I don't mean like stiff like where you want to be stiff. I'm talking about stiff like, you know, the joints and the legs. So I get it. Well, you know, especially after, because here's what it is. I got a half day Fridays, and this last Friday.
You get half day Fridays?
Well, yeah. Well, we have summer hours.
Like every Friday?
Summer hours is what we call it. So during summertime, you can work an extra hour each day, and then you can either have every other Friday off, or you can have a half day Friday. So yeah, this place is freaking awesome. Anyway, back to my point. This last Friday, I came home, and I decided that I was going to be one of those pinheads that, you know, edge the sidewalk, which I normally don't do. And because I don't do it, it took me forever and a day to get it, like, cleaned up the way it should be, to, like, look like, you know, I care. Yeah. And so I spent a lot of time out because I had to mow the backyard. I had to get rid of some of the weeds that were growing. So I cleaned all that up. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do the edger and clean up the sidewalk. And it took way longer than I thought it was going to. And by the time I gotten done, and Friday was pretty hot, I was like, you know, I kind of ran out of steam. And then Saturday rolls around, and I'm like, ugh. And it was just like, I knew I should have stretched. So I relate.
Yeah, I don't stretch often enough. And, you know, there's moments at night when you wake up and your leg is cramping up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just like from doing things like what I do at work now, we were painting a ceiling, but it wasn't just like rolling out a ceiling. This was with brushes. We had to make sure that we covered every spot because it was with a type of wood called beadboard, and it has like seams in it. So you have to go through and caulk every seam, and then you have to go back and paint the whole thing with brushes, and it's tedious, long work, but your arms and shoulder, your arms are above your head the whole time for, you know, hours on end.
Right.
And I should have stretched and let my muscles do what they need to do. Anyway, we need to like start rolling through this thing because this is a lot longer than I thought it was. And we're going on 45 minutes, just halfway, not even halfway through this song yet.
We're not even halfway. Wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. We got a lot to go.
We're almost halfway.
Okay.
So I'm gonna read through a couple lines here. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do in your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do in their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds still don't know. Or I know, still don't.
Right.
Yeah. They still don't know at 40. This next one I'm not sure about. Get plenty of calcium.
Well, that's going to help your bones.
Okay. So not knowing what you want to do in life. I'm 51 and I'm still trying to figure that out. I've done a lot. I got sucked into the whole FedEx thing for a while. I liked it, but I don't know if it was something what I really wanted to do in my life. But now I'm still trying to figure it out at 51. I've gone backwards in the last few years, actually, trying to figure out because of the opportunities that we've had by moving away from what we knew and jumping into something totally different.
Right.
So anyway, I'm still trying to figure it out. I think I have half day tomorrow. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
And then we might have a boat day like Thursday.
Nice.
With the guys on the crew. We might be able to squeeze that in. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Anyway, get plenty of calcium. Like I said, you said that's good for you. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. I've not had that experience yet, but I do know several people that have had knee surgery and hip surgery, and so I'm sure it'll be something that would be missed if I had to deal with it.
Yeah, just my older dog. Just she had knee surgery.
Oh, that's right.
So,
Penny.
Yeah.
How's Penny doing?
She's actually recouping quite nicely. But I could tell that it's, something that was bugging her for quite a long time. And we were trying our best to try to help her self-heal, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, we thought that maybe she had too much weight on her. So, we started limiting food, helping her with being a little more, active. So things like that. But nothing of that really helped. And then we just finally bit the bullet and said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and have her, checked out.
She's only 7, right?
Yeah. So it turned out she had arthritis and ACL ligaments torn. So they had to do the surgery, and I could tell that she's feeling better. It's only been a few days, but I could tell she's feeling better.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's great, and I'm looking forward to having old Penny back.
That's good.
Yep.
So that's your knees.
Yeah.
That's be kind to your knees.
Yes.
So the next line is maybe you'll marry, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Now, and you and I are both in different boats on that one. We've both been married.
Yes.
But
twice.
Not both of us have had children. I have not had children. You guys have had children.
Yes.
Chrissy and I never did. And now, in our 50s, we're like, we're kind of glad we don't have any children. We can focus on us and the dogs, and it's nice. I left the children thing up to my brother. Like I've mentioned this many times in several podcasts before, my brother and his wife have many children. They're expecting number 14, which
right.
we mentioned back in when Suzanne was on with us, and that's he's more than made up for our not having children, so that's good. They can take on the carbon footprint if they want. We're not doing it.
I think if you ever get into that role, then your perspective changes.
True.
I
get that.
Yeah.
I know that we would be different people if we had children or if we had adopted or
right.
something.
Right.
10 years ago, but now that we're 50 plus, we're like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool. We have a lot of freedoms. We don't have to think about things.
Right.
So.
You don't have to coordinate babysitting. You don't have to worry about, when they get older, what are they doing, where they're at.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
You don't have those set of concerns.
And even at 50, you really shouldn't have babysitting concerns. But like you said, what are they doing? Where are they at?
Right.
Like, I know I do have friends that are our age that their kids have kind of gone into areas that they're just not doing as well as, one would hope.
Right.
So, anyway, how about maybe you'll divorce at 40? Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th anniversary. Chrissy and I just celebrated 25 in April. So who knows? Maybe another 50 years. Gosh, hell, we'd both be in our 100, be around 100 years old. That's not going to happen. I don't see that happening. So anyway, what do you think? You want to move on to the next line?
Yeah, whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are a half chance, so are everybody else's.
I love that line. Your choices are half chance, so are everybody else's. Yeah. We're all in the same situation. Everything is chance. A lot of things are, we can make decisions, but overall it's still half just kind of up in the air. You never know what can happen.
Doesn't that kind of bug you, though? Don't you like to believe that you're able to make your own decisions and, you know, make things happen?
I've battled with that one, that thought process for a long time, coming from a Christian upbringing.
Okay.
It can be a deep conversation that I don't think we can get into right now.
Okay. Fair enough.
Enjoy your body. Next line.
Enjoy your body. So kind of like when I'm touching myself at night. Got it. Okay.
No,
all right.
No.
That's what that means, right?
All right, Paul Rubens. Did I just say that?
You did.
Oh, well,
you're saying I'm pulling a peewee? Is that what you're saying?
Is it? Well, that's what she said.
Do not be talking to my wife. Anyway.
Oh, that was good.
Use it every way
good
you
timing.
Can.
Good time.
I will use it everywhere I can. Thank you.
Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own.
The mind has just really.
Wow.
We went to the gutter.
This whole thing can be taken out of context so easily.
We were way in the gutter there.
Hi, Bella.
My doggies just came in to visit me.
Hey, Bruce.
They're whining. They want to be in here with me.
Hi, doggies.
You can close the door if you want.
No, I'm fine. Thanks.
No, they'll just hang out in here with me.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
So, hi, Bruce.
So after we took that to the complete wrong way. Yes. So dance, even if you have.
No, really. No, it says enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think. That's really funny.
I really can't.
Like before we started this whole conversation, I never put that little bit together. That really taken in a weird way.
Yes.
Okay, move on.
Enjoy dance. Your body. Stop.
Dance. Dance. Just like Ren in Footloose. Dance.
Yes. What was it? Timberlake. Justin Timberlake. Wasn't that his song? Everybody dance, dance, dance.
That's a good song.
What was that?
Yeah, I like that song. I like Justin Timberlake. He's a funny dude.
So
he's talented.
Yep. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Do you dance? Like when nobody's looking?
Oh, absolutely.
You do? All right.
Yeah. I look like complete ass too.
Oh, the other night I had I forget what song I was playing. I was playing probably 80s or something. And my daughter's sitting on the couch, and then I just start dancing like a fool, and she's looking over me just like doing the head nod like, oh my God, Dad, please stop. It was priceless. You had to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, I get it.
Yep.
Yeah, there's, you know, I'm I have the reputation of being, a fan of hard rock and heavy metal, right?
Yep.
But I'm a sucker for disco, and if we're listening, if I have like, you know, Spotify or Pandora on or something in the background, and Chrissy's not around, and one of those disco songs comes on that from my era, I dance. I do dance.
Dancing yeah, Queen, like, ABBA?
No.
Okay.
No, more like some.
Why am I the only guy that does that? All right. Sorry, never mind.
That's good stuff. That's good.
No, that's not me. I promise. No, I don't. No, okay.
Do you read directions?
I'll flip through them.
So I just bought a desk for Chrissy from IKEA.
You have to look at the directions on those.
There are no written words.
No, it's just pictures.
On these directions. Yeah. It's just pictures. Yeah. It's incredible. And it went together just fine. It's great. She has a new desk.
Nice.
Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Okay. And I think that's a serious problem in our society, and it's been that way for a long, long time.
Yeah, I don't do that, so check. Done.
Yeah, I don't do that anyway. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good.
Great advice, and probably the subtext as to why I podcast.
Really?
Yeah, I think that based on the longevity of the men in my family, I don't have a long shelf life. So what I'm trying to do with podcasting, and this is not the reason I tell other people that when they ask you, they say, why do you podcast? This isn't the reason I give them. I give them the happy-go-lucky, because I enjoy reliving retro memories and all that. And that's true to a point. But if you dig a layer deeper, this is going to give them hours of who I am that I've never had from my dad. So
we peel back the layers of the onion of Dave.
Yes, yes.
Go back to what Rose would say all the time, the onion.
The onion. The onion the that layer. Is Dave.
Yep. Well, yeah, I know that you lost your dad when you were like, what, 11?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Exactly. So I didn't really get a chance to know him that well. I mean, I have some memories of him. And I've, some certain things that we've had that I can go through and try to piece together the kind of person he was. But I'm never going to have a dialogue with him. I'm never going to, or not anymore, and what I'd gotten out of those 11 years is all I'm going to get. So, I'm trying to, in some small way, leave a little bit of who I am with this.
So Abby is what, 12?
Yeah.
And then your son is?
14.
Okay, he's older.
All yeah.
Right. I wasn't sure who was the youngest. Yeah. Abby's the youngest.
Yep.
So this is good that you're leaving some kind of information for them that they could go back and listen to the podcast and say, hey, this is what I know about my dad.
Right.
He loved this stuff.
Right.
So that's cool.
So it's good. It's on them that's if good, they man. Choose to do anything with this, hours of content. But, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I know that if I were to have a podcast of my dad, I'd be listening to it all the time.
Interesting.
So.
Be nice to your siblings.
Yeah. Agreed.
What siblings do you have? I don't remember.
My sister that passed away that I just told you about.
Oh, right. That's right. Yep. Was that the only one?
That's the only one. It was just me and Debbie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I wasn't sure if you had more.
Yep.
My brother and my sister, both younger. Brother's 5 years younger. Sister's 7 years younger. We grew up in different mindsets because when you're that much older than them, you don't have as much to relate to. So as we were growing up, my brother and sister had a really close relationship, but I was a little bit too old to be hanging out with them. Especially when you're like 15, you're not hanging out with your 10-year-old brother and your 8-year-old sister.
Right.
So, but it's true. The next line, it says they are the best link to your past. My sister's very into the genealogy thing, so she follows a lot of that stuff and has a lot of good information. I've been thinking about doing that genealogy thing or the 23andMe or Ancestry, whatever.
Right.
DNA testing to see where I come from, because nobody in our family has really done it except my aunt. And she found out that we were not of any kind of North American heritage, which is what we thought we were part of. Not that it matters, really.
Right.
Whatever. We just thought we were. So we were just kind of thinking, oh, yeah, we must be this type of Indian or whatever, but we're not. At least on that side of the family. I might be on my dad's side. Anyway. Blah, blah, blah. Oh. I didn't finish that line. It says they are the best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in your in the future.
Right.
So that could be true. I don't know yet. We're We all get along.
I think the best link to your past, what I think the way I interpret that is that my sister always remembered those little minutia details of things that I had forgotten. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was quick to remind me. It was like, oh, no, you were the one that didn't want to go do that, and Mom and I wanted to go to it, and you were just a punk little brother. You know, so, you know, it's like you have those kind of moments where they kind of call you out, but then they set the record straight, whereas in your mind you're like, that's not how I remembered it. But, you know, siblings are good like that. They'll call you out, and they'll remember those details.
Mm. So, let's see. The brothers and sisters, and it says, understand the friends that friends come and go, but for the precious few, you should hold on.
Work hard.
There's a handful of friends that you do hold on to throughout your life that you have a special connection, like I had mentioned earlier with Joe.
Right.
And then another friend of mine, Jim, that I spent a lot of time with when I moved to California and grew up out there. So it was, there's definitely some friends that come and go. But be thankful for the handful that are close to you. Do you have any like old friends from like the Navy or anything like that that you still keep in touch with?
I reconnected with a few people, like courtesy of Facebook, but I mean, they're not like very, very close.
Yeah.
You know, too much has gone on between now and then, and their lives and my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can only relive that, you know, have that conversation about, oh, you remember that time we did that at the barracks, or the time that we did that. You can only have that conversation so many times. And
that was awesome.
So, I mean, you know, it's good to relive the past as far as that goes. And, you know, I mean, I guess the really close friends, you kind of evolve with them in their life and they evolve in your life. But I really haven't had that.
Or that one time when your friend tried to make it with the cow. I want to party with you, cowboy.
Yeah.
Is that coming up in the Essential Movies anytime soon?
I did not see it on the list.
It's got to be on the list.
It better be.
Come on. It's got to be on the list.
I don't remember. I don't remember it being in the next few. Let's put it that way.
Okay. That's acceptable.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not going to come up. I just don't
remember. Because you've barely scratched the 100 point.
Right.
So you still have 100 plus to go.
Correct. So there's still plenty to go.
What number are you on? 108?
107? You're going to make me look it up. All right, hold on.
Right. Live in New York City once. But leave before it makes you hard. Oh, I missed one. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need people you knew when you were young.
I'm at 105.
This song is the 105. Yeah. Okay. Live in New York City once before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once but leave before it makes you soft.
Mm-hmm.
California, there's a lot of softies out there. New York, it's pretty tough. I like how they throw in, every once in a while, they'll just throw in one word for one of the lines.
Yeah.
Earlier on, they said, you know, sing, and then they said floss, and then stretch. And now the next word is travel, right?
Right.
And Chrissy and I try to get in traveling as much as we can, but you know, it doesn't always work out. We don't always get to go to the places we want. We've been to a few places that are really, really special, and like Ireland was friggin' awesome. I think our next trip, she really wants to go to Taiwan.
That's interesting. Which is it?
Yeah, I know. We were watching some show on TV about street food, and it looked interesting. But it's like 22 hours to get there.
You could do it.
I don't know if I can do that.
That's why God gave us Xanax.
Yeah. and several other drugs of choice. What's the longest trip you've ever been on? Not counting the Navy.
You mean plane trip? I'm trying to think where first I've been on the plane. Maybe Peru.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh yeah, you went for work.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think that's probably the furthest.
Huh. That was just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, this one's interesting, this next line. Accept certain inalienable truths. Inalienable. Tough word to say. Inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old, and when you do, you'll fantasize when you were young, prices were reasonable, and politicians were noble. And doesn't it seem that way now? Like everything seems really expensive.
Yeah.
And politicians, no matter what side of the fence you're on, red or blue, they're all a bunch of just crooked people.
Yeah.
And that when we were growing up, it didn't seem as bad.
Yeah, I think because when we were younger, we weren't that keyed into politics.
We didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you see everything. And it's like, yeah, back in my day, this didn't happen. But that's bullshit. It did. We just didn't pay attention to it. We let it float on by.
Right. And prices, I mean, we always knew that they were always going to go up.
Yeah.
It's just life. That's just...
It is.
Overall. Children respected their elders. Respect your elders, which is something that I do.
I completely do it all the time.
Yes, I do respect my elders. And it seems like a lot of kids nowadays don't.
Yeah.
And that's sad. Don't expect anyone else to support you. The level of expectation in younger people today is really saddening and frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you have a wealthy spouse, but you never know when either one might run out. Yeah.
Yep.
Don't mess too much with your hair. Or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Hmm. Well, I'm sorry. Mine took leave long before 40.
Yeah.
It was jumping ship a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't think mine I probably could have gone a bit longer with having my hair. But yeah, with just looking at the bald spot that was kind of growing, I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm not even going to mess with this. So, yeah, I've never been kind of one of those that mess too much with your hair, so I can't really relate to this line. But, you know, yeah, I understand kind of how that could happen because, you know, I see people around me that are trying to fight the, fight time. And yeah, they've got a bit of gray going on, and they try to hide that.
Well, you know, I used to rock the mullet, but I will never try to rock the skullet. There you go.
Nice.
Quote for the evening.
Yes.
Everybody, write that one down. I just came up with that on my own. Although skullet I've heard, but
yeah,
just that line. Anyway, I'm a big dork.
Yep, so moving on.
Yeah, next line. Go ahead.
Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it more than it's worth. But trust me on the sunscreen.
And that wraps up the song.
Yeah.
And it's a really strong statement to end with, other than the sunscreen part. The the advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth.
Yeah. And I completely – I'm living this where I've got the lessons that I've learned from past companies. Mm-hmm. And I find myself leading a new team and – sharing my experiences from what I've learned in the past. And there is some really crappy stuff that I had to work through to get to be able to paint a positive picture on that advice. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of reliving this daily now where I'm like, okay, I've been here and done this and I've seen this problem, and here's how, you know, from my past experience, we're able to get around it or we're able to fix it or whatever. And all of a sudden I'm, you know, this, you know, sage of advice. But back when I was living it the first time, my God, it was awful. Mm. So I'm completely digging this line because I'm like, yeah, there's a lot more to this story that, you know, I would be spending hours sharing it with the guys. You know, like, well, wait until, you know, if you had a boss that was like this and, you know, was like, fire and brimstone, you know, you'd have a whole different perspective of this. You know, I'm a teddy bear compared to that guy. So I don't say it like that, but that's what I'm thinking in the back of my head.
Yeah, I don't know if I have too much on this final statement. As powerful as it is, I don't have a lot of, like, advice from my grandpa, I think, is like the most powerful that I got in my life. He was more of he gave me more fatherly advice than my own dad did.
Okay.
But I don't see it as the way they portray this, like wiping off, you know, painting over the ugly parts and recycling it for more than it's worth. He was really down to, like, he said it like it was. He didn't paint it to make it look better than what it was.
Okay.
So I see this from a different angle. Advice is a form of nostalgia. I agree with that part, but the painting over it, making it pretty, he never did that. So I think that was helpful for me. Actually, I think it was good to see that, you know, not everything is pretty.
Right.
And he wasn't like a negative guy. I'm not trying to make it sound like he was a negative guy, but I think he really built into me my realist point of view.
Okay.
Okay. That makes sense?
Totally.
And he never told me once about sunscreen, though.
damn you, yeah. Grandpa.
So, anyway, do you think this is a pretty potent spoken word poem song, whatever?
You don't even know how to classify it.
I don't. It's something different. It's different than what I'm used to.
Right.
I mean, think about it. I come from like Metallica, AC/DC, Judas Priest. Occasionally, you know, Depeche Mode or Psychedelic Furs, but...
You forgot out the really important one. Lamal.
Oingo Boy. Oh, Lamal.
I'm still waiting for that podcast series.
Hey, I just saw that video the other day. The Neverending Story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah, just if you were into Stranger Things season 3, it has a big part.
I have not seen it yet. We stopped like at when season 2 came out. We just never got back into it. And I want to, but I just don't think she's into it.
Yeah,
she's not into it.
To me, it's hard to imagine stopping. But if you were to go through season 3, then that's why that Never Ending Story song is really getting its popularity back. Because it played a part, a pretty significant part on the final episode. Yeah.
So before I introduce this song, or before I mention this song to you, a couple months ago, did you ever know this song? Do you remember it?
I remember hearing it before, but it's like one of those things that I just kind of forgotten about in the past. I knew of it, and I remembered it. But it was like, something that I didn't really pay that much attention to.
Yeah, I don't know why it jumps out at me. I'm not sure. I don't understand why it grabbed my attention the way it did from the last time I heard it, from the time that I heard it, that it brought back these memories of hearing it.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it'd been probably 20 years. Well, no, not 20 years. At least 10 years. Couldn't be 20 years, because then I wouldn't have heard it until this year.
Because
it came out in 99. Do the math, Scott.
But so it's been impactful for you all these years.
It has. It has.
Okay.
It has. A lot of good advice.
It does.
So anyway, thanks for humoring me and going along with the topic.
Like I said, I'd heard it before. It's not something that I was like, you know, one of those things that's so majorly impacting to me. But after breaking it down the way we did tonight, I mean, there's some solid advice in there. And obviously there's some stuff that, you know, I related to. So it was, definitely cool.
Yeah. So you want to wrap up the show with our little game of mixtape that we're starting?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Here's the scenario. So let me explain this. So I kind of explained it on the Stan Bush episode, but we didn't really get to all choose our songs, just because we got sidetracked and tangent and all that stuff. So tonight, Dave and I are each going to pick a song, right?
Sure.
Okay. So here's the scenario. The game mixtape gives you a scenario. You have to pick a song that you would put on a mixtape that would go with this scenario. Okay.
Okay.
And I just picked some random card right now. You've come out of the bathroom and your prom date is nowhere to be found. The person you really wanted to ask is standing under the disco ball alone. DJ asks if anyone has a request and dedication. What song do you play?
So the girl that I've been wanting to ask is standing alone.
Yes.
And I have a moment to do a request dedication to this girl. Wow. I gotta give this one some thought, man. I don't know.
That's actually a pretty deep question.
Yeah.
You really have to dig back into the past. Maybe we should think about it and mention it on our next show.
That could work, because I think some of my, like, you know, the best ideas that I'm going to have are going to come after the fact. We're going to end it, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, that song.
So this is going to be continued then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
join us next time.
Yeah, on our next episode number, whatever that will be.
I've lost track of how many shows we've done.
Quite a few. And then we'll answer this and then ask the next one. And then if it's something that we have to give some thought to, then we'll do it that way. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. Sounds good. Cool. So, do you want to wrap up the show? You want me to or what?
All right. Well, yeah, we were going to remind everybody to go to our website. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com. That's BANZAI. Follow all our social media endeavors, that being Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram and give us likes on all of our posts that you so choose. If you've got one of those fancy dancy Apple devices, be it an iPad, iPod, iPhone, that you've got a podcast app, whether you knew it or not, but go out there and subscribe to the podcast and give us a rating and review. Hopefully it's 5 stars.
Can I throw something in real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so Podbean, on your last show about, I think it was Caddyshack.
Okay.
You mentioned Podbean, but you weren't sure if they could leave reviews or ratings.
Right.
You can leave comments on us, on our show.
Okay.
And they will get back to us somehow, and we can respond to them.
Yeah.
I figured that out recently.
Yeah, no, actually,
yesterday.
Yeah, earlier on, there are people that had made some comments before, and I had responded, but it's been a while since we've gotten a comment. You're right.
Yeah. So Podbean, you can leave some kind of response.
Cool.
Which, please, if you do, go out there. I'm actually liking their app, because I just, like I said, you know, I don't know if I told you guys that I switched from Apple to Android.
Yeah.
And I was always using the Apple
podcast
app, but now I had to search for another one. I tried Himalaya. Himalaya is okay, but I'm leaning towards the Podbean
app for app subscribing itself. And following people.
Yes.
Yeah, podcast.
Yes.
And they call it follow. Yes. Right.
So for some reason, our show is not coming up when it's released on Himalaya, but it's coming up when it's released on Podbean, because I know that Podbean is our host company.
Right.
They're the ones that we go through for the production side of things to host us. I can't figure out why Himalaya is not updating as quickly.
Yeah, considering I've never heard about Himalaya before you just mentioned it tonight.
Yeah, I had seen it at the at the convention.
Okay.
And they were a very large presence there.
Oh, okay.
So they were pushing hard. I don't know if that's maybe it was just a marketing thing that they were trying to do, but I'm actually liking Podbean better than Himalaya right now. I'm switching all my following stuff over to Podbean now.
Nice.
And Podbean's nice because they actually you can still subscribe to other podcasts that are not in the Podbean production side.
Right. Okay.
So you can get whatever.
Right.
Sword Scale or you know, all the PBR broadcasts and all that other stuff. PBR. PBS. PBR. PBR. Pabst Blue Ribbon. All the Pabst Blue Ribbon podcasts that are out there.
What about the PB&J podcasts?
Yeah. PB and Telemundur.
Peanut butter jelly. Okay, so where was I? So subscribe, rating reviews, do all that kind of good stuff. That's it. So if we're going to remind you to just be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. So bye.
Take care, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
Bonsai!
Bye!